This scripture truly takes our breath away. It is a gift from God. I know that all of scripture is a gift from God. This one is of particular value because it speaks so eloquently of love. It just blows me away when I think about Paul being a person and talking about being transformed. You know, God transformed Jacob, but the one who, you know, if you didn't know who wrote this, you would think, oh, wow, this guy, you know, really was a man of God his whole life, and he just really, you know, is blessed and all that kind of way. And in a way, it's true. He was blessed by God his whole life. God gave him his life, and he intended for him to be a great voice and witness for the Christian faith. But Paul was the worst of examples in his earlier life, and he also hated Christ and anyone who had to do with Jesus. And love was the farthest thing from his mind. And yet he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and his life changed forever. He was introduced to love. He was introduced to mercy. He was introduced to grace. And he confessed his sins his whole life through, confessing his sins and his witness to other people to let them know that I was the worst of sinners and I was trying to put an end to Christianity, but I met Jesus and he changed my life and I want you to know him. And so he poured out his life in this way. In the church of Corinth, he found a lot of problems and he wrote them very lovingly, but also in very bold words throughout the letter that we know as 1 Corinthians. And he expressed to them his desire for them to begin to live as a community, to remind them that they were a community of Christ. He had also encouraged them to desire the Spirit and to desire gifts of the Spirit, which included speaking in tongues and prophesying. But the people there in Corinth, in the church in Corinth, began to, I guess the best word to say is to misunderstand and practice the gifts with the wrong heart. And so Paul, in the power of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words that we know as the love chapter of chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. There are three parts to this great chapter that we'll like to look at today together, and we've prayed for illumination, for God to illumine our hearts, and so each one of us wants to do that. We want to let God illumine, to light, bring light into our hearts in the areas that he desires to bring light, and to expose darkness so that we can be in the light as he is in the light, and as he is light. And so the first three verses speak of the necessity of love. This is Gordon Fee wrote a wonderful commentary on the love chapter, and honestly, when I think of Gordon Fee, I think of Pastor David Koo and him being at Grace Church, because I know that he studied with Gordon Fee and he spoke very lovingly about this great man of God who wrote commentaries and taught in the seminary where Pastor Koo went and attended. And this outline is one that Gordon Fee gave to us. The first three verses are the necessity of love. The second part from verses 4 through, I think through verse 8, would be the character of love. And then the final verses are the eternity, the everlastingness of love, the enduring aspect of love. And so we're going to look at each part of this individually very briefly today. And I want to encourage you as we go along and we read these verses and look at them together, that you will receive God's Spirit and that you will receive his love for you, and that you will commit yourself to learning these verses well, even memorizing them, putting them on your desk at work, putting them in your notebook for school, leaving them at home in a good place where you can see them, or even better, just memorizing them so that you don't have them somewhere else, but you have them inside of you. The first three verses are dealing with the necessity of love. It is a necessary thing. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And so here we see the connection to the Corinthian church and the people there. They were speaking in tongues, right? They were speaking in tongues of men. You know, they were talking in normal ways that people speak, but they were also speaking in the tongues of the Spirit through the gift. But they weren't speaking in love. They didn't have love. And so what was the result? They were like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Did you ever hear a gong? Right? Clanging cymbal. It was, in other words, it meant that they were just making a lot of noise. But it didn't have any meaning in it because there wasn't any love in their heart. And so the tongues and the gifts and the things that we speak and we say, if we don't have love behind them, we can think of ourselves in that way. We're just being a noisy gong. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be a clanging cymbal. We want to have love in our hearts when we speak. And if I have prophetic powers, prophecy was also a gift, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And even if I have all faith so that I could remove mountains through that faith, but have not love, I am nothing. Right? And so prophetic power is to be able to tell what the future is bringing and understanding all mysteries and have these, wow, you know, I could even tell you what a dream is all about, and I could tell you how much knowledge I have about life and all these different things. And man, I have faith. I prayed and these mountains were moved away. But if I have not love, I'm nothing. And so it brings us back to the necessity of love. It is necessary in all things, love is needed. If I give away all I have, let me make a donation. Let me give everything that I own away to charity. All of my money, I can just give it away. I could make a sacrifice. Here it's speaking in very, very strong terms. If I deliver my body to be burned, you know, and burning of sacrifices. And so he uses that example to get our attention. Even if I were to deliver up my body as a sacrifice to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. My ashes would just be there. But if there's not love behind it, then I don't gain anything by it. If I give away things, but it doesn't have the right heart behind it, then I've gained nothing. Right? So this gives us a very good perspective on where Paul is coming from. And he's talking to the people there in the church and saying, you guys are doing a lot of practicing of gifts and you're talking in tongues and you're sharing mysteries that are being, you know, understood. And you have a lot of knowledge, and man, you have even faith. You can, that's clear. You really do amazing things here in your church, but you also have this great gift of giving things away and making big donations, and you make sacrifices before God, and you show really how deep your conviction is. But man, you're missing the biggest thing and the most important thing, love. Paul was coming from a place where he had really helped to form this church. He had a lot of investment in it. And so he saw that he needed to take action, that the people were on the wrong road. They were and they lost the real meaning of all of this that was going on. And in all of his thinking, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Right? You are my all in all. You're my strength when I am weak. You're the treasure that I seek. Why? Because, man, you loved me. Not because of anything else, because you loved me. And the people there had forgotten that. And sometimes we forget too. Right? We get puffed up in our knowledge. We get puffed up in these different ways. And so Paul is beginning this important message to us. And when we memorize it, it'll really come into us even more to understand when we don't have love, we have nothing. The next section is dealing with the character of love. And Paul is talking to them about these things. It's important. I think Gordon Fee was the one who said also, this is not a moral list of things that love is about for Paul. These are things that he learned from Jesus. Okay, this is not his own creation. This is not his own inspiration. These are things from God for him. Right? So when we look at these things, we don't want to just look at it as a list. We want to put an association with that. We also want to see it as a teaching of the character of love for the community. We look at it individually, yes, but love is to be practiced. It is a behavior. It's not a moral recitation, okay? And it's very easy sometimes when you see these kind of lists that Paul mentions and writes to see it that way, and it lacks the connection for us. But when we look at it in that light, that it is, yes, a teaching from me, but it's from Jesus, it's about God, and it's his teaching, but then it's also to be applied in community. It's very relational, it's behavioral, it's acted out. It's not just listed and memorized so that I could say, yeah, I memorized it. Because if I did that, then I would just be doing what he said not to do, which is to say, I have a lot of knowledge. I memorized chapter 13. Well, that doesn't do anything unless you love it, love people, and you learn to do it, right? So that's what this is all about. Love is patient and kind, right? So the people in the church were not being patient and kind. So he said, look, you need love. It's a necessity. It's the most important thing. So you need love. And then it'll help you when you're loving to be patient when someone is driving you crazy. Kind, showing kindness to someone instead of being mean to them. A lot of bullies around. A lot of bullies in the world, not just to children. We hear about bullies in school, but there's a lot of adult bullies too. I was a bully. You know, I hope that I have to say, you know, Johnny Cash said sometimes this dark dog that he used to be came up and showed its ugly face sometimes in his life. And I have to agree with him. I'm the same way. Sometimes those ugly things that we really don't want to be come back and they bite us and they show themselves again. But I definitely have that fault, you know, of and knowing that I was a bully. And I'm not proud of it. But Jesus comes in and he brings us love and he takes away the bully in us. Love is patient and kind. Love doesn't envy or boast. There was a lot of envy going on in the church of Corinth. They were envious of other people who had gifts that were more impressive, like speaking in tongues. Wow, I wish I could do that. And they were envious of those people. But that isn't love. That's not a spirit of love. You could be happy for someone that has something that you can't do. Right? That is a great thing that Jesus does for us. The love of Jesus in us helps us to be happy when others succeed. That they get a better grade than I do in class. When they get a promotion, when I was really trying to get that promotion. You know, all these different things like that. It's on all different levels. And boasting, their love doesn't boast. It doesn't say, hey, look at me. look at how great I am, puffing, you know, pounding on your chest and saying, I'm great. No, love, that's not love. So people of Corinth, people of Grace Church, we don't want to boast, right? We want to be humble. It's not arrogant or rude. Arrogant goes along with pride, right? It's a great temptation for us to start feeling puffed up and feeling that we are great and that we have this kind of a thing. It shows itself too when we may not know something, right, that other people do. The devil is very, very well averse to our weaknesses, and he knows exactly where to go in each one of us to bring out that kind of a unloving attitude and action in us. He knows exactly which ones to press, buttons to press. And so we need to be prepared and to know that these things are not a part of being the body of Christ. It's not the community of Christ to do these things or to practice this. Don't be rude. Don't cut in on people. Don't say things that are going to be hurtful to someone. A lot of times we do that to people that are closest to us because we're so used to being around them. For some reason, we feel like, oh, I can say this because I'm around this person all the time and I know they're going to forgive me, or I don't know what we think sometimes, to be honest, but we do that, but it doesn't fit in with love, right? So it's not arrogant or rude. It doesn't insist on its own way. How many times we want to be the one who has the last word? We want our opinion to be the one that is going to be given the most attention. We want to say the most meaningful and important thing. You know, we want to have that kind of attention to our own. But when we insist on our own way, we're not loving. It doesn't have love in it. So love doesn't do that. So we don't want to insist on our own way. It's not irritable or resentful. To be irritable is someone who has you have this sense like, what's wrong with you today? and I think that God is very forgiving, don't you think? He's very forgiving. He's very loving towards us when we're irritable. You could actually not even know yourself sometimes why you're being irritable. But it's not loving. So we want to think about that. Irritating. What's irritating you today? Irritable is not just irritating. It's something that expresses itself in an unloving way when we feel that way, I think. Or resentful, to resent someone, to harbor a sin that they've committed, in your heart against them, and to feel like, I really resent you and I'm not going to talk to you, or I'm not going to spend time with you anymore, or I'm just going to ignore you, or harbor all these grudging feelings in my heart. But love is not like that. Right? And so all these things were going on in the church, and we don't want to have our church be like that either. So each one of us is God to read this chapter and remember what it says. In verse 6, it doesn't rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. We don't hurt someone when they're down. We help them up and we love them into an upright position from down on the floor so they can stand up and feel that they have a friend. And when we rejoice at wrongdoing, we're forgetting how quickly we have done wrong ourselves. Think about Jesus, who saw the adulteress who came, and she was brought by these people who said, look at what she did. And Jesus said, well, let the first one of you who has never sinned throw the first stone at her. Jesus, the Son of God, really knows exactly what it is that we're about. We're very quick to accuse people at doing wrong, but instead, let us rejoice with the truth. Let us be encouraging and edifying and building people up instead of bringing them down. right? Isn't that what love is going to be about? It's got that kind of a heart to it. And Jesus can help us do that. Amen? And then, brothers and sisters, we come to this. Remember, this is the character of love. And this is where I was really going with the title of today's sermon, the all in love in these verses. But it's actually throughout the whole chapter. Love bears all things. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, think about it in this kind of a way, right? All things. When I am bearing all things, when I'm believing all things, when I'm hoping all things, I'm enduring all things, we could think in the general terms, and I believe it really does have a meaning for us today, that in the midst of a pandemic, that these words ring true for us. As the Church of Christ, we are victorious and we are more than conquerors because of the love of Jesus Christ. And so that all these things, we bear these things because we know that our Lord is greater. We believe all things in the midst of all the unbelief around us and all the turmoil and the things that are going on. We believe because we know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We hope in all things. We have hope in our hearts in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of all the things that are going on because of Jesus Christ. And we endure all things. We persevere because he persevered up until the cross and rose again from the dead to give us eternal life. And so it is eternal love that lives in us and helps us in these situations. But if we look as a community, the second way to look at this in this all things, the love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, then what if I were to apply that to my brothers and sisters? I bear all things with them when they are hard to understand, when they're doing things that I can't really, really deal with. Right? Love bears all things. And not only that, but it believes all things for them. That Jesus Christ gave them life. And because they have a life, then they're walking with a God, a creator who loves them and gave them meaning in their lives. And therefore I respect them and love them as a fellow creation of Jesus, of the Father in heaven, instilled with the Holy Spirit, given life, so that it becomes no longer some people appeal to me and some don't, but that all people are people that I am going to believe for, right? That I believe in the things that God is going to do in their lives. If there's someone in your life that you've given up on, then believe in them. Not in the same way that we believe in God. That's a different thing. What I'm talking about is that you want to believe in the power of God in their lives to help them so that they can be a transformed and loving and gracious new creation in Christ, and one that you are going to spend time in eternity with. Hopes all things. I am hopeful for my brothers and sisters. I'm hopeful for them. And I also endure all things with them. I go through things with them. I am at their side when they're going through things. I'm not stepping away when they need me most. I'm stepping forward into those situations. I'm giving up my time that I need for myself and for my own will and my own desires and everything else. And I'm saying I'm there for them. All things. I'm very, very convinced that, you know, God in his greatness has been showing me that there are things that I have been wasting my time on because they are for me and not for others. And there is a restlessness in my heart because I'm striving and wanting things that have to do only with me and not for others. If I have love in my heart, that necessary part, if I have love in my heart and really truly have that, then I can give away things for other people. I can look to do that. I can look to edify other people by sharing the word of God with them and teaching them, prophesying, speaking in tongues, doing the things that were listed in the as the gifts of the Spirit. But if I'm looking at myself first, then I'm not going to be able to do that. And so the love of God needs to change me from someone who is on a schedule to achieve the things for me and transform me into one who has an open agenda for wherever the Spirit leads me to help others. Before we go on, I want to just share one thing to you. This might be a little bit longer today. I hope you don't mind. Because it's important. But I just want to briefly share something with you, a misunderstanding about love. When Lee Chan and I were serving in a Chinese church in East Brunswick many years ago, I was working with the youth, and I got to know these young people pretty well, you know. And at the beginning, though, as we got to know each other, I remember asking a question at a youth group meeting. Do you see love around you in your high school? And there was a young man there, and he was a very popular kid. I would have to say that he was immature. And I don't mean that in a derogatory sense. I just mean that he was like most people his age, who when they hear the word love, the only thing that he could think of was what he heard around school. And so he looked at his friends before he answered me. And then he said, oh yeah, there's a lot of love going on. All right. And I think you probably know what he was talking about. And I knew what he was talking about. But for him, the idea of broaching the subject or having someone ask that kind of a question, it just shows the fallenness of all of us and humankind, that we are uncomfortable in talking about love. And so it turns into something that is actually dirty. I'll talk about it on those kind of terms, and I'll talk to you about how it is there, because I really don't want to deal with the kind of love that you're talking about here. That's kind of cheesy. That's kind of, you know, that's not in. That's going to be something that people in my fellow, you know, age group are going to laugh at if I speak about it. But I bring that up to just let you all know that I think that love is really something today that is necessary, but oftentimes because of things just like this young man, we feel uncomfortable about. And what God wants to do in this message here is take us away from an immaturity and a lack of experience and a limited view of love, which really by the majority, I would say, of human beings has been made into lust and sexual immorality, and to recapture it and to let this generation know that love is an incredibly beautifully powerful thing. And when we come with the message of John 3:16 today and say, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, then we are equipping and bringing this generation and future generations, and indeed our church, into a deeper understanding of what love truly is. And so take a step, as much as you may be rejected, as much as you may be rejected by the response of some in this world when you broach this, the subject of love, but be brave and bring love into your life and into your conversations. Jesus was rejected. He was rejected, and he was love himself. And so why would we be surprised when it's like this? But do not give up. Believe in people, because Jesus Christ is present. Believe and hope for others, that despite their immaturity, despite their ability to overcome the hurt and the woundedness in their lives, and to push away Christ because they're afraid of being hurt by bringing up the things that have hurt them in their lives, be brave and bring love into people's lives. Bring Jesus into their lives. This next section here, everyone, is the eternal aspect of love. Love never ends. Think about that for a moment. Love never ends. And so Paul takes this teaching and the gifts that were being offered in the Corinthian church, and he says, the prophecies you're talking about, right? That you're prophesying and you're telling what you see as being good, this is going to pass away, because you're bringing the message here at this time, but it's going to pass away. Tongues, the tongues that you're practicing, the gifts of the Spirit, these things, they will cease. Knowledge, it will pass away. I'm always reminded of in Chautauqua at an opera camp that I attended years ago, where it said this absurd thing that music never ends, right? It's just this, it's like art never ends. It's like this bringing of the human aspect and the thing of these kind of things that people want to say, but it says that love never ends. Love never ends. These kind of things that we're practicing and that we put and devote really the majority of our time on are going to cease. They're going to have an end. And then he says this, we know in part and prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. And this is inspired. This is taking us away from someone, and even if we misunderstand what he was talking about in teaching the values of love and the character of love, he is taking us now into a deeper place that we need to go. As a church of Christ, any church of Christ, but we are the church of Christ and Grace Church, we need to deepen our understanding of love in this kind of a way, because it is eternal. When the perfect comes, and I think of Christ, the partial will pass away. All of these things as we know it will end. And the kingdom of God is going to come into being, and it will never stop. It will never be. It will never have an end, because God never ends, and he is love, and therefore love never ends. So this takes us into a deeper association with what love is. Paul speaks these words. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I became a man. I gave up childish ways. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face. The reality, the things that Jesus is preparing for us, we may see dimly in a mirror. But then, in eternity, one with the one who never ends, and his love never stops, then we'll see him face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Do you know the meaning of what this is for you as a person, as a creation, as a your name, whatever it would be, that has been given to you by your parents, that you have been fully known by God way before you came into this world through them. You're fully known by God. This is a tremendous, tremendous loving statement here. It is not a threat to our individualism. It is a comforting, embracing, loving statement from a man who knows God, that he was fully known by Jesus Christ and he was brought into the kingdom of God. He was forgiven of his sins. He was given purpose for his life, and he expended all of his life for building the kingdom of God up. And that's what we do at Grace Church. All we do is for his glory. All we do is practicing his love. Think for a moment. Is there a sense of rebellion in your heart when you think about love? Lay your hands down, lay your body down, and receive his love today. Let him have your hurts. Let him have your wounded heart, your broken dreams. Let him have the dreams you still want to come into reality with. Let him have yourself. Let yourself be loved by love, our God, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, coming in and bringing your life into newness in this way. Faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Love never ends. Hope and faith are things that we have now in this life. And they oftentimes express ourselves, but in love we are to love community. And that means coming together at every opportunity that we have to join together, to be reminded that it's not a choice. It is God's design for his church, his body, to come together in love. And then with that love and that necessary thing to build upon character that brings joy and encouragement and edification to other people in the church, not ourselves. And that as we walk forward into eternity, we reach out and grab onto the hand of the Savior who comes to meet us face to face. Give your life to God. Give all that you have in love to God. He has given all to you.